This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the final Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut podcast for the 2015 growing season, brought to you the entire season from a wonderful partnership between Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program and our friends at the New York State Turfgrass Association, found on the web at www.nysta.org. This podcast is for the week of November 9th, 2015. It's Volume 16, Issue 31. The 2015 growing season began with many experiencing devastating winter damage, especially golf turf. Many lawns and grounds turf was also plagued by snow mold and turf that was dry from the previously record warm and dry fall of 2014. A slow start putting many into a hurry-up-and-wait mode as cold took some time to dissipate and allow for regular work in the landscape. There were widespread complaints that 2 months of work had to be completed in 2 weeks. Of course, that led to odd timing issues and widespread failure of pre-emergent crabgrass control, early-season insecticide applications, and renovation with seed, Except for some minor reprieves in June and September, much of the region along the coast suffered under drought-like conditions with minimal rainfall over the 8-month season. By the numbers, the climate data does not indicate record dry conditions. However, with the preponderance of infrequent high-intensity rain events that drop a month's worth of precip in 1 day, providing little for the soil and prolonged periods without much rainfall, we're getting a glimpse of climate change in the Northeast. While many might think our industry should not worry about water conservation, I urge you to review the information presented in this issue on water management. Finally, while there is not high confidence in long-term winter predictions, the possibility of the El Niño pattern is high. These winters are warmer and wetter. This combination of warm and wet conditions can lead to many of the same winter damage problems that began the season. Be mindful of this possibility and plan accordingly. And a wonderful growing season climate summary from our friend at the Northeast Climate Center, Professor and Director, Professor Art D. Gaetano. A close to normal temperature start in the March to May period for most. Cooler along the coast due to record cold winter influence on the ocean. June through August was slightly warmer, 2 to 4 degrees above normal, leading into the record warm temps in the September to November period, as much as 5 to 7 degrees Fahrenheit above normal. In fact, September was the warmest in history for 3 of the 9 Northeast states. Base 50 growing degree days, a useful measure of the heat accumulated during the growing season, was 100 to 300 above normal, suggesting the length of the growing season was generally about 10% longer this year than the 15-year average. On a moisture perspective, a dry start to the season, especially along the coast where the area has teetered on drought conditions for the last 2 seasons. This year, March to May, along the coast was less than 30% of normal rain. This ended abruptly in June for many except the most dry areas of Long Island, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New Jersey and New York City that remain 25% of normal. In contrast, areas of upstate New York received 2 to 3 times normal rainfall. Most of the region was dry in August with 50% of normal that received some relief in September to the November period. The dry persisted in October at 50% of normal rainfall, leaving most at the end drier than normal. Small pockets in southeastern Connecticut and Long Island continued to remain on the drought maps and low soil moisture levels. And a prediction on the winter, the warm growing season has set up for a perfect El Niño pattern for the winter. Typically, El Niño winters are warmer than normal with slightly higher snowfall. Some regional summaries from the University of Massachusetts and Randy Prostak. A dry season for many led to weak turf and widespread weed invasion. 2 early applied pre's broke down early, allowing for large amount of crabgrass. Professor Nick Menchek at SUNY Farmingdale. A good season to determine the need for irrigation. Very dry conditions severely limited the growth of unirrigated turf. Heat stress was occasional. From Rutgers and Rich Buckley, a very slow season turf-wise in the diagnostic lab, likely related to prevalent dry conditions and little persistent heat stress. And finally, Victoria Wallace from the University of Connecticut Extension. Persistent dry conditions limited many landscape and sod operations throughout the season. Second-year soils heading into winter dry. A couple of highlights to keep track of as we wrap up the season. It's Water Week on the Golf Channel. The drought crisis in California and the persistent mantra in the entire green industry over the critical need for water conservation is being highlighted by a major sports media outlet, the Golf Channel. There's little question that this issue will resonate with areas across the U.S., not simply the roughly 20% of golf courses in states currently facing some form of restriction. There are important lessons to learn from California and how the entire green industry is responding. Also, keeping abreast of this issue in major traditional and social media outlets is important as it presents the latest industry thinking on this critical issue and likely what many of our customers, either golfers or landscape customers, might be hearing. If you can't watch it live this week, check it out on their video feed on golfchannel.com. Also, as planning occurs for next growing season, a review of the excellent Turfgrass Water Conservation Handbook that you can access at our Cornell University Turfgrass website will help improve your understanding of the most efficient ways to utilize this precious resource. A note about the right tree in the right place. It is not often that the topic of trees are included in this newsletter. However, there is an excellent compilation of articles recently released by the United States Golf Association that is useful not only for golf courses, but for all landscape and grounds professionals. There are some excellent articles on tree surveys, developing a tree care program, deciding on the right species, and of course the challenges of growing high-performance turf with trees in the landscape. Finally, this multimedia approach to communication that the USGA has devised includes webinars and videos highlighting the various aspects of trees in the landscape. A great resource for off-season review to plan for next season tree management program, and this resource can be accessed at the USGA's Green Section course care portion of their website. And finally, to end the season on a laughing note, Billy Deacon, the head grounds manager at Citi Field, installs a cricket pitch in Citi Field. Professional turf grass managers of golf, lawn, and sports turf are often asked to perform unique tasks that might seem odd to a layperson. Nowhere is this more extreme than at major sporting events. Some may have noticed a recent 9-hole golf course in Petco Park in San Diego. The 17-game MLS soccer schedule played in Yankee Stadium that required enormous amounts of field prep and sodding. And most recently, ESPN highlighted the installation of a portable cricket pitch, wicket, behind second base at Citi Field with NYSTA member Bill Deacon. This time-lapse video describes the process many grounds managers go through when faced with new challenges. A particular quote was worth noting by the pitch curator. Quote, guys usually get weary when you tell them to dig a hole behind second base. And you can access this video at the ESPN.go.com video clip library or Google Bill Deacon cricket pitch at Citi Field. Thank you for joining me for this season's Shortcut Podcasts, brought to you in partnership with Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program and the New York State Turfgrass Association. I'm Frank Rossi. I'm the Turf Extension Specialist at Cornell University, and I hope you have a wonderful offseason, and we'll look forward to having you back for our 17th season of Shortcut.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.